Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call in or text it. The last segment I was talking about NFL Super Bowl opening night and how I think it is a bit of a clown show. But from time to time, you know, you go out there, you try to do something to get your name out there, to go viral, to become a star. A texter, Paul probably has asked all dumb questions to go viral. Well, I've asked some important questions too, like if Jeremy Pena had heard Jeremy by Pearl Jam back in the day. That was important. Richard Justice would definitely argue that I've asked a dumb question to go viral. My first day of reporting, when I asked Ozzie Guillen if comments he had made about loving Fidel Castro had seen less of a visceral reaction in Miami over the weeks since he had said it. And yeah, it didn't go so well.
Castro, Are you kidding me?
What an assist by Sean Mapes behind the glass. I just called that off the top of my head. Fantastic. Yeah, that happened. And then I got yelled at by Richard Justice in the press box. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was an MLB security man because he was wearing a polo with a MLB logo on it. And he was, you know, sturdy, like sturdy, stout man. Didn't know who he was. Then I found out afterwards he was like a beat writer yelling at me. And my relationship with writers changed forever in that moment. Nick Sirianni's opening press conference, do you guys remember it with the Philadelphia Eagles? I think most people saw it and thought this guy's going to absolutely stink. He's going to be the next Jim Tom Sula with the San Francisco 49ers or Ben McAdoo with the New York Giants and his terrible attempts at hairstyle. Poor Ben McAdoo. He just needed to talk to my gal Annie, who's been cutting my hair for like a decade. My hair looks amazing. I could have hooked you up, Ben, for a finder's fee. Just $1 million. It would have been okay. Those two guys didn't look so good right out of the shoot, and everyone assumed they would be bad. It didn't work out so well. Nick Sirianni, this is what he sounded like out of the shoot at this introductory press conference with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team, that we have a smart football team here. And I know we have the people in place to do that. The first part of that, the first part of being smart is knowing what to do. We're gonna have systems in place that are easier to learn. All right, complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against, or the special teams group they're going against, but easy for us to learn. Because when we can put that, when we can learn our system and we can get good at our system, then our talent can take over. Less thinking equals talent take over. But we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so.
I think he had written out what he wanted to say in his opening speech, and it got jumbled. This happens to me regularly. You've probably heard it. I feel bad for him in that moment now because, hey, you are definitely going to have your heart palpitating a little bit. Most of these coaches, when they have these introductory press conferences, this is the most attention they've ever gotten. When you're a coordinator, no one cares really what you have to say unless you've done something horrible. When you're a head coach, all of a sudden, it's a totally different situation. I just want people to remember that, though, because did D'Amico Ryans not ace his press conference last week? And it's not to say that, oh, if you have a good opening press conference, you're going to be a bad NFL coach. But a lot of the vibes that we have about D'Amico Ryans going forward as the Texans head coach have to do with the fact that he really could not have done a better job at that press conference at seeming sincere, authentic, not fake, not too much like a hardo. He was true to himself. Dan Campbell was true to himself, too, by the way. I'm not hating on meatheads or hardos. I like to think of myself as one. But D'Amico Ryans was authentic. We all liked what we saw. Just though it doesn't mean anything, just like a guy who absolutely butchers that opening press conference, that doesn't necessarily tell the whole story about how that guy will fare as a head coach over the course of his career. Sirianni yesterday actually weighed in on that opening night press conference. Here's what he had to say about that moment in time.
I guess it would be safe to say my opening press conference wasn't flattering to who I am as a person or as a coach. But try not to judge it early on that. And, you know, the main goal is can that new coach lead men and help you win football games at the end of the day. So, you know, that's our job. And, you know, give it some time. And if the guy has a great press conference, he has a great press conference. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
I think that's a nice way to look back at it, though I do think a press conference is not a reflection of who you are as a person. So maybe Sirianni took that a little bit too hard. And look, he was in Philadelphia for that, too. This wasn't like San Francisco for Tom Sula, which I think is going to be a little softer on him. It's also not even New York with Ben McAdoo, because you're going to sound like a doofus if you're a sports talk radio host, for the most part, and you're criticizing McAdoo's appearance. Because most sports talk radio hosts, no offense, they are not me. They do not look like me. Oh, Sean's smirking. What? Sorry. Can't help the genetics.
It is true. Most sports talk radio hosts aren't you.
See, now that sounds condescending.
No, a lot. Mike the Mad Dog aren't Paul.
Yeah, that's true.
We're saying the same thing, Paul.
Yeah, I know, but the way that you're saying it.
No, they're not you.
It's very true. They are two totally different human beings. Thanks, Sean. I didn't know that until now.
No, they're not you.
No.
You're not them.
Am I him? And are they them?
I think they're them.
Gotcha. Okay. We're getting lost now. Now we need a flow chart to figure out where the pronouns go. Anyway, though, look. I'm thinking about something with the Houston Texans right now. Because obviously we're waiting to see who they hire as their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator. And this thought came to my mind yesterday, but I thought, honestly, when I thought of it, I'm like, wait a second. Is this a thought that people are going to think I'm high when I say it? But when I look at the coordinator search and the most recent person that the Houston Texans have involved, they're looking at, for a defensive coordinator, Commanders defensive back coach Chris Harris, in addition to Ben Slowick from the San Francisco 49ers. It had me thinking about this take. So I want to set a little ambience here. So this way, if you take me seriously, it's your own fault. You didn't hear the music, and you didn't hear what we were doing in this room. You didn't smell what we were doing in the room either, because we put towels under the door. In case you need to do that. Introducing the Houston Texans Trip Chamber. This is where you can share your thoughts, okay? Judgment free. We're just sitting back, looking up at the sky, maybe partaking in something. But if you got like a piping hot Texans take that you think everyone believes you to be crazy when you have, shoot it. Hey, we'll even welcome the Davis Mills Isn't That Bad people into the room. One love, everybody. One love, one pipe. Okay? But here's mine, as I was thinking about the coordinator search. I feel like the guy that the Texans get as their offensive coordinator might have more of an impact than D'Amico Ryans the first couple of seasons. Because D'Amico, I think, is now transitioning into a CEO executive role. He's not going to be, you would assume, given his defensive background, even if he does know ball, a guy who's hands-on with whoever the next Houston Texans quarterback is. And just think about the last couple of years with what the Texans have had as offensive coordinator. Last year, and at least as far as things currently stand, it was Pep Hamilton. The year before that, it was Tim Kelly. Before that, George Kotze. How many bad offensive coordinators have we seen in Houston? Or at least guys who were not able to translate whatever complex offensive system that they were a big part of back in the day to the rest of the players. They would say Bill O'Brien had a problem with that from time to time. Sometimes his offense just seems too complex, especially for wide receivers. So I feel like who the Texans hire as their offensive coordinator might be more important than who they hire as the head coach. And we are in a safe space here. We are in the Houston Texans Trip Chamber. We got Foo welcoming him in. 713-780-3776. Foo, what do you got?
Hey,
take
what's
this
up,
pipe.
Polly Foo?
Yo, hey. What's up? Take the pipe,
hey,
okay?
Mike.
Pull back. What
all
you
right,
got?
Hey. I got a big one right now. I'm smoking it right now. And my take is the Texans are going to suck and draft Arch Manning, Foo.
They're going to suck this year. They're going to tank this year for Arch Manning next year. Or the year after that, right? Because it wouldn't be...
That's right, Foo.
This is 2025. Okay. So, I mean, you're really, like, going trust the process mode with that take, Foo. But, hey, listen. All takes are welcome here. Here's one from the text line. 713-780-3776. The Houston Texans are an all-time better organization than the Dallas Cowboys. You know what? We're not going to shame that one because for some people, their history only goes back to like 1996. Sean Mapes, what year were you born?
1996.
Sean Mapes has never been alive for a Cowboys Super Bowl because they won that Super Bowl 30 in January of 1996. You were born in April of 1996.
True that.
See? So for some people, that is true.
You know what? Never looked at it that way, man.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, what's that? What's that noise? Hey, no, it's nothing. That noise is nothing. All takes are welcome here, baby. 713-780-3776. You could also tweet him in at Gallant Says. This one has to do with the Dallas Mavericks, but I do think that this is actually worthy in the Houston Texans trip chamber. Has Luka Doncic signed off on the flat earth that Kyrie Irving has signed off on? I don't know. Oh, hey, I know something that we can add into the Houston Texans trip chamber. Hey, Sean, can you pass that for a second? Pass it over. What? We're just sharing with the class what we're doing on the air. Pass it back. Thank you.
This that act out was for nobody.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to hear the bubbles. That's what I was trying to go for there. Hey, listen, it's fine. It's fine. Listen, people. This is what our good friend, number 13 in your programs and number probably 53 in your hearts on the Houston Texans as far as all the guys there, Brandon Cooks, the Archer, who does have Houston Texans listed on his Twitter profile. Huh? He tweeted a couple of days ago, don't change the channel. Just watch. Archer emoji. What do you think he meant by that? Don't change the channel. Just watch. Was he trying to encourage people to keep the ratings up for the Pro Bowl? Is he a big Pro Bowl guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's what's best for the Shield is best for all the players, you know?
Never would have thought that Brandon Cooks would stand up for the Shield. Cooks also tweeted out a picture of a Spotify song, Count Me Out, Kendrick Lamar. Tweeted that out 14 hours ago.
Wow. I wonder what he means by that.
I do, too. Do you think we should count him out of the Houston Texans' plans in 2024? And 2023?
Yeah, maybe he saw the D'Amico Ryans press conference and was like, you know what? Count me out.
Count me out. I don't like this. That would be the ultimate zag if Brandon Cooks did that.
Well, you never want to win the press conference, Paul.
That's true. I mean, you want to lose the press conference like Nick Sirianni.
I mean...
He's in the Super Bowl.
Recent history suggests.
Hey, listen, we're in the Texans trip chamber. That's fine. A text from the 832. In the Texans trip chamber. I don't feel they are in love with the quarterbacks this draft. That's actually, that could be sound. And some people have suggested that maybe they would go defensive line. What else do we have? Ooh. Texans trip chamber. The tickets for Texans games. Yeah, I didn't finish pulling that. Should be free until they are an over 500 team from Eric the Driver. I love that. That's how you bring the crowd back to NRG Stadium.
But wouldn't they be rooting against the Texans? Because you would want free tickets?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like rooting for the, you know, free chicken nuggets or whatever if a team scores 150 points.
So you would want them. Here's how it would work. You would just need them to lose the first two games and then win, lose, win, lose, win, lose, win, lose the rest of the way. So I think they would ultimately finish 7-10 if my math is correct that way. Yeah.
Yeah, but the energy would just be weird in the stadium. But you're rooting for, you know. Okay,
yeah, whatever. That's true. That you're going back and
this
forth.
I will say, though, this fits the trip champ.
It does. 1 week, you know, as encouraged by Jim Crane of the Houston Astros and by Jera of the Dallas Cowboys. 1 week you root for the Texans. The next week you bet against the Texans. Perfect. Free tickets. In the Texans trip chamber from the 713, the Texans should have hired Jason Garrett. No. That one we won't allow. Bring the vibes down.
Yeah, that's not good for the vibes.
No, definitely not.
I'm freaking out just thinking about it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Jason Garrett and his like eyes just staring into your soul. Sorry. If I've had a little bit, I do not want Jason Garrett awkwardly smiling at me on the NBC Sports broadcast, man. I'll get paranoid.
Jason Garrett would call the cops. What are they doing over there?
What's going on in here? No, I feel like Jason Garrett would try.
You got reefer, son?
He would want to partake. I think he would want to partake, but he wouldn't know how to ask out. He's like, hey, you guys got something in there? And everyone's like, no, we don't. We don't, Jason.
He definitely calls it grass.
Doobies. That's the Texas Trip Chamber. We might bring that back. Up next, we all like Jim Crane as an owner, I think, for the most part, with the Houston Astros. I think people that maybe work for the Astros don't exactly feel the same way. I'm wondering if Jim Crane's going to try to impersonate this guy, who I do think is changing baseball for the better. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Now that we're out of the Houston Texans trip chamber, I actually do have a controversial take today, and it has nothing to do with the world of sports. I'm wearing a Whataburger t-shirt right now. Someone did ask on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, what do you prefer, Paul? Whataburger hamburgers or In-N-Out hamburgers? It's a trick question, because the answer is neither. Get better burgers. I don't understand the appeal of a fast food burger. They're not good. They're not. They're like boring and plain. You want something that's seasoned. You want something that's thick. You want something that's good. Right? Don't we live in the food capital of the world? Or at least the United States? You have all sorts of options to eat. Get a good burger. I'd rather go to... what's that place? It's not good that I don't remember it off the top of my head. Five Guys. That's a good burger. It's thick. Good buns.
Is that fast food?
Probably not.
Okay. I was just curious if that counts as fast food. I guess it doesn't have a drive-thru. And for me, that seems like that's the...
Is that the appeal? Because I get some of this food's cheap. And obviously you get what you're paying for. But I've never found like an In-N-Out burger to be something special. I've never found the same thing I would say about Whataburger. And when I go to Whataburger, I get the honey barbecue chicken sandwich. Like that's the way to go. On Texas toast. On Texas toast. But you always have to remember to do it on Texas toast. They should just put everything on the Texas toast, to be perfectly honest.
I think they, most of the time they do.
I think you have to ask for it.
Oh, I never asked for it.
You never asked
for it. Yeah, but they know when Mapes is rolling through.
Real ones.
Got to come correct. Yeah.
Real ones. Bear Brother brings up Smash Burger. I guess. How about Wahlburgers? Just kidding. I'm not going to go there. Yeah, dude. Our burgers stop 9/11, dude. Yeah, that's a Wahlburger for you, everybody. Okay, I have a question, and it has to do with the Astros owner, Jim Crane. Do you think that he'll ever change the way that he operates in reaction to others? Because I can't stop being impressed by Steve Cohen, who might not be a great owner of the New York Mets. Time's going to tell. But the guy clearly doesn't give a damn about budget. And I like that he's roasting other teams along the way, because baseball's owners, they hide from the limelight. Jim Crane is one of the few that you actually like hear from on a regular basis. I think a lot of that had to do with the actual sign-stealing scandal. But Crane doesn't hide. Most baseball owners do. You don't hear from them often. And when you do, it's generally some snivelly weenie BS coming out of Cleveland or Cincinnati or Pittsburgh or something like that. Here's what Steve Cohen had to say about owners across baseball and the way that he is discussed by his, I guess, peers. I've heard what everyone else has said, that they're not happy with me. I hear things from people who are maybe more neutral, that they're taking a lot of heat from their fans. I kind of look at that like, you're looking at the wrong person. They're putting it on me. Maybe they need to look more at themselves. Ooh, I love it. There's, in football especially, and it has to do with, I think, the revenue sharing that they do, so they all make generally the same money, but some teams have a little bit more cash than others. I really do think it's bogus that all of these owners stand in solidarity with one another. You know some of them hate each other. You know some of them are jealous of one another. And I think most people in baseball are jealous of Steve Cohen because he's got empty, he's got deep, deep, full pockets. Like, he's wearing cargo shorts out there, and he's throwing money at everything that moves. Might not work out so well, but I like it. Continued Steve Cohen in this interview that he did, I'm not responsible for how other teams run their clubs. I'm really not. That's not my job. And there are disparities in baseball. We know that to be true. I'm following the rules. They set the rules down. I'm following them. I didn't know I was going to have to spend like I did. I actually was a little naive in that regard. But once I got comfortable and realized, okay, what's it going to take to put a great team on the field, I still had made a commitment to the fans and to baseball that I was going to come in and turn this thing around. I came in saying I'm all in, and I keep my word. Some platitudes there. A bit of pandering, I think. Sounding a little bit like a politician. But this is what you want from an owner in any sport. You want a guy who comes in and he's like, yeah, at least publicly, I'm not going to admit that I view this as a profit-making enterprise. I'm here to win. I'm here to do something in a field that I've never done before. I've never, you know, Jim Crane's a little bit different. Jock Jim Crane, of course. You know, he wears a Letterman jacket and he hangs out with Jeff Bagwell. And they make Furcus, you know, look up the numbers for them while they, you know, play pool at the hall. Do people still do that? I don't know. Anyway, I like hearing this from Cohen. And I do wonder, say the Mets win the World Series. Do you think that Jim Crane will look at Steve Cohen and maybe try to emulate it? Because I think Crane is actually one of those guys who will look at his approach compared to others and maybe not entirely change it. But I mean, this year, clearly they were reflecting and they felt like where they had been going under James Click was not the right direction. And whether right or wrong, they're going in a new one now. Could Steve Cohen perhaps be somebody that would push Jim Crane to go in another direction? I do wonder about that. We'll see how this year plays out. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Do you think that Rockets head coach Steven Silas should last the rest of the year with this Rockets team? And what did you think about his rant last night? If you didn't hear it, you'll hear it next. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
They're not giving the effort on the defensive end. They're not getting after it like they're supposed to. They're not getting into their man and fighting over and helping each other. They're not doing what they're supposed to do.
That's Rockets head coach Steven Silas after last night's Rockets debacle. I feel sorry for anybody who watched it. And I do feel bad for even the Red Rowdies who subject themselves to this on a nightly basis. Like, Sean Mapes and I were okay with it on Friday because there's no Kevin Porter Jr. There's no Jalen Green. We kind of figured they were going to get beat on Friday night against the Toronto Raptors, who aren't a very good team. But you gave up 153 points on Saturday, and you follow that up on Monday, giving up 140 points to a team that has killed you killed you the last two games that they played against you. I mean, it's been 139 points, 135 points, and 140 points by the Kings against the Rockets this year. I don't know. You play them another game. Maybe you try a little bit harder on the defensive end. And Steven Silas wasn't seeing it. He wasn't done with his rant last night.
The effort.
Just to close hard or just even throughout the possession?
It was getting into the body, getting over the screen, being in help, sprinting the closeouts, doing what we're supposed to do, acting as if it doesn't matter. It matters. Disappointing. These are the lessons we have to learn, I guess, and all that stuff, but that's not right. What we did tonight on that floor was not right. It's not right.
It's embarrassing. And sometimes I like to hear some piss and vinegar from a coach. Hell, even every now and then, I like someone getting on my case. If it's a boss, producer, whatever. Every now and then, you need a wake-up call. As a professional, hell, in life. But why are we just getting frustrated, Steven Silas, now? Season started late October, November, December, January. I mean, we're about 4 to 5 months into the season, and this is really the first time that you've heard a largely soft-spoken Steven Silas really light his team up publicly. Maybe he's done it privately, but this is the first time that I've seen this. And I think when your tone starts to change, players are going to sense it. And I don't think that they're going to react to it in the way that Silas probably wants them to. Oh, he's pissed at us? Oh, now we should try hard. No, I would imagine that they are more likely to see that and think to themselves, well, he's gone. And that sucks for Silas, but I don't know what Silas can get more out of these guys. And we've been feeling this way for weeks now, for months. They had a couple of nice stretches this season. They beat the Sixers. They beat the Suns. And you thought to yourself over that little stretch, okay, maybe this is actually going to be an entertaining ride the rest of the way. Last year was largely entertaining watching this young team learn, especially at the end of the year when Jalen Green really started to take off. But we have seen none of that progress. And if you're not making progress incrementally, you are just wasting your time and fermenting the loser juice. And that stuff gets strong. See where Ben Simmons is at this phase of his career. You think if Ben Simmons had some hard coaching that he would be what he is right now? Because he didn't have that in Philadelphia, that's for damn sure. There's no way to 100% know whether or not he would have been good. There really isn't. But that loser juice has fermented to a point where now you see a bunch of young players who are just wandering around and they aren't getting better. You're wasting your time here. And all of a sudden, now we get a rant from Steven Silas. Too little, too late, bub. Sorry to be direct like that, but my God, we have been waiting. I've been waiting for this for a while. Oh, your breaking point was last night. Was it on Saturday night? Was it on Friday night? Where's it been? All of a sudden, here we are. Steven Silas is going to say to his players, this was unacceptable. But what was the game before that? What was the game before that? What were all the games against the Kings this year? And by the way, you're going to play the Kings again on Wednesday. Uh-oh. Can I bet the over right now? Honestly, the over for the Kings probably is going to be set at 150 at this point. So if you're the Houston Rockets, what do you do right now? There is no reason to keep Steven Silas as your head coach. None. Goodbye. Get out. You ain't getting anything from him. And I think at this point, if you want to actually maximize what this team can do and what these players can do the rest of the year, you know what you got to do? You're going to probably have to put in John Lucas and just pray for the best. But that's where you are. And I mean, we dive from this talk about how this team isn't putting in any effort to, well, it's good that they're not putting any effort in because that way they can have maybe the top overall pick in this year's draft. Yeah, it's maybe. That's it. Being terrible is a maybe that you get the number one overall pick based off of the lottery. A maybe. That's it. Oh, great. Wonderful. Awesome. That's going to be so great. A maybe in a couple of months. What happens when you don't get it? Because it's a 1 in 3 chance. That ain't that high.
It's a 1 in 3 chance, or it's 14% that you get Victor. It's 28% that you get top two. And this is viewed as a two-person draft.
Great.
And the upside to being the number one, or to have the best odds, is that you just won't fall as far if people jump you, just because they slot you in higher.
Yeah, 100%.
So, you know, the downside of being like, yeah, they even if they are the worst team in the league, they have the same chance as the fourth worst team in the league.
Yeah, 100%.
So to everyone being like, yeah, no, they should develop bad habits, receive no coaching, receive no accountability because they need to have the first overall lottery balls. No, not really. They don't really need it. It would be nice if they play hard, play the right way, and still lost. Like, they can do that. They're not so good that
right,
they might accidentally win too many
games.
Oh,
no. It's not Steven Silas in charge anymore, and we're winning games. And again, like, I hate that this city has become this. This city has accepted losing from two of its teams. Like, it's good. I mean, daddy's home, and he's here shaking you to wake up. It's 10:45. You're late. 2 hours late. I'm shaking you right now. Call Child Protective Services. I don't care. You guys got to wake up and stop with this stuff. You all snivel and snivel about not getting the number one overall pick. You guys have enabled this kind of behavior by these teams. You have not been hard enough on the Rockets. You haven't. I suppose maybe there's just a collective lack of care at this point in time, but this organization has been soft on everyone for years. And I'm not just talking about after James Harden left. I'm talking about before. This has been consistent. This is two ownership groups. This is two different general managers. This is a couple of different coaches. This team is not hard on the people that are in the organization. And what is this, daycare? Daycare for young 20-year-olds to make millions of dollars and then go home and they're like, yeah, well, whatever. Like, that's the vibe I get. And Steven Silas changing his tune all of a sudden, like, that's a sign of a guy who, like, realizes, yeah, I can't do a damn thing with these guys. So it's time to move on from him. There's no point. Like, I don't understand what you are accomplishing continuing the rest of the way with Steven Silas. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in to. I mean, do you think that speech was good? Do you think that the Rockets should keep doing this, rolling with Steven Silas? I'm out, and nothing against Steven Silas, the human being, but he clearly cannot get anything out of these players if that's the regular effort that we are seeing on the defensive end. You got to call out just effort. Like, what are you teaching these guys? Up next, LeBron James is back in the news again for all the wrong reasons, and not just because of what he had to say about the Lakers not getting Kyrie Irving at the trade deadline, tampering much. It also has to do with maybe one of the more tone-deaf quotes that you're ever going to see from him. We'll add a little context to it to be somewhat fair to him, but geez. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One last segment to go. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. You want to jump in before we hit the road on the HRNP listener line. You can also tweet us at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. There's one person on the Twitch, OG from H-Town, who I'm not sure whether or not he's trolling about, like, trusting in Raphael Stone. But, like, why would you trust in Raphael Stone? Like, what qualifications does he have? Playing basketball at Williams? Being in the same room as Daryl Morey? Oh, okay. Wow, I feel great about that.
It is funny that every move the Rockets make can just be excused as, like, well, they're, you know, trying to lose. It's like,
I hate it.
It's like, other than the trade up for Alperen Sengun, there really isn't much good moves. And that's a very good one. He is the best player on the team, but
what happens if Eric Gordon is still here at the end of the week, past the trade deadline? Like, are we going to continue to say, in Raphael Stone we trust? I can't believe there's one person who says that. Like, what do you have to go off of? And again, how low our standards have become just in a couple of years because of two teams in town that have been an absolute dumpster fire. At least the Astros are good. Goodness gracious. Oh, hey, LeBron James. If you listen to this show on a regular basis, you know that I'm not the biggest fan. General manager LeBron James is terrible at his job. He is objectively awful. This is the guy who was pushing for, I think, more respect to be shown to Russell Westbrook over the course of this offseason. This is the same guy who constantly tries to put pressure on organizations by not signing long-term contracts to make them realize that they have to do something. And you know what? There is some creativity and ingenuity in that. But change for the sake of change doesn't necessarily lead to better results. And the Lakers were unable to get Kyrie Irving at the trade deadline. I feel like that probably is the smart way to go about things, even though they did offer two first-round picks unprotected and Russell Westbrook in exchange. LeBron James was asked about the trade that did not happen in an interview that he did with Michael Wilbon. I guess it was LeBron press day, because there was also a big feature in the Los Angeles Times that we'll get to in a moment, but here is LeBron with Wilbon.
Well, definitely disappointed. I can't sit here and say I'm not disappointed on not being able to land such a talent, but someone that I had great chemistry with, and know I got great chemistry with on the floor, that can help you win, championships, in my mind, in my eyes. But my focus has shifted now. My focus has shifted back to where it should be, and that's this club now, and what we have in the locker room.
That's
and
a guys quick pivot, those, LeBron.
It's a quick pivot. Quick pivot. It don't take me long. It don't take me long. I don't get too excited about the possibilities of things that can be. I kind of envision myself on what it can, but I don't invest it all the way until I know it's happening. Okay. And when it does not happen, I'm back locked in on the job at hand. So
I do think it's kind of funny to hear those things from LeBron James when you remember that Kyrie Irving basically left LeBron because he was like, I'm done with this. And how things have changed for Kyrie, where now there's pretty much no one in his corner except for Jason Kidd, the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Does anyone actually think that's going to work out, by the way? Sean, do you think that's going to work out?
Define work out.
Do you think that the Mavericks will be a good, actual threat playoff team now that they have Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving?
They could win like a playoff round. Defense is just going to be an atrocity. But there's going to be nights like in the regular season where you're like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Okay.
But, you know, come the playoffs, they don't really have any guards that play great defense, and they don't really have any big men that play great defense. So.
Okay. So some of the same things that we were saying about the Nets a little bit earlier. But to take things back to the Los Angeles Lakers, I don't know that Kyrie Irving fixes this either. This is an absolute dumpster fire, and it is the dumpster fire of LeBron James' creation. And it is amusing to hear him say, like, well, I'm disappointed that that didn't happen. Well, the reason it didn't happen, LeBron, is because you've been so damn impatient all of these years and continuously putting pressure on the Lakers to do move after move after move after move to make you happy and to keep you around. And I get it. They won one title, but that does not mean that you all of a sudden have, like, some sort of general manager's touch when it comes to roster construction. You overlook, I think, a lot of the small things along the way on a regular basis. But, okay, that's LeBron the basketball player. LeBron off the court is the one that annoys me because I just don't find him to be authentic. He did a wide-ranging interview with Tanya Ganguly. You might remember Tanya. She used to cover the Houston Texans for the Houston Chronicle about like 5-6 years ago. She's doing a great job for herself out in L.A. I'm a fan. Anyway, she had a piece with LeBron James, and LeBron said this. I don't want to say
it ever becomes too much. But there are times when I wish I could do normal things. Oh, normal. Sound a little more patronizing there. I wish I could just walk outside. I wish I could just, like, walk into a movie theater and sit down and go to the concession stand and get popcorn. I wish I could just go to an amusement park just like regular people. Let's pause for a moment and think about LeBron James' net worth. I wish I could just walk outside. Well, you can. You can. Where are we talking?
I mean, you know what he's saying, though. I feel like this is a reach by you.
This isn't a reach.
Because
you don't want to interact with people all the time? Then move to someplace that doesn't have a lot of people. You live in Los Angeles. What are you thinking? Live not in Los Angeles if you want to walk around.
Okay. Keep going.
Fine, I'll keep going. I wish I could just, like, walk into a movie theater. Who likes going to the movies?
People who don't get to do it.
It is overpriced. The seats are generally not comfortable. And, can he afford his own home theater and advanced copies of every single movie? Yes. So movie theaters as an example.
But that's not what... Okay, keep going. This is bad by you, Paul. Nope. This is, like, actually bad.
No, nope, I'm using the examples that he's provided to us, okay? And interpreting them literally. I wish I could just go to an amusement park just like regular people. Ooh, like regular people, okay. You could have your own amusement park. Have you watched the episode of South Park where Cartman gets his own amusement park? They don't cost that much. Oh, and one last one. I wish I could go to Target sometimes. You would never go to Target.
No, he's saying that he wishes he could just, like, walk around, be a normal person, because he hasn't been able to do that since he was 15 years old.
Yeah, I get that. I get all of that. And guess what? No one wants to hear it. Like, he's right. It must suck to be a celebrity and not be able to walk anywhere without a bunch of people coming around you and crowding you and all that stuff. That's the price. That's the price of this. And I don't know. I feel like you're bringing up bad examples. I want to go to Target sometime. My ass. Well, you don't want to go to Target.
To be fair, he doesn't actually. Well, what is a normal person thing that he would want to do? That you would be like, I understand why he would want to do that.
Skydiving.
That's not a normal person.
Is it not a normal person thing to do?
Yeah, rich people can skydive. Rich people are who skydive. Yet they'll be able to. Lewis Hamilton.
Is it expensive? I actually don't know.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton, F1 driver, skydives like every chance he gets. It's okay. Crazy. Okay. He probably shouldn't do it.
I get the idea of him wanting to walk around and stuff. I just feel like bringing up bad examples. You want to go to Starbucks? What? You're not going to be safe in a Starbucks. I can tell you that. Starbucks is getting attacked all the time, man.
Yeah. But I remember hearing a story. I think it was. I forgot which super rich pop star was, but I think it was Michael Jackson, actually. He would literally hire actors and like strangers, and he would rent out a mall for a weekend just so there can be strangers in a mall that don't look at him, and so he can walk around and go shopping and pretend like it's normal.
I mean, LeBron could do that.
He could, but he doesn't want to. That's so much that he would rather just go to a mall.
Do people like going to malls still? Sean is so mad about this.
Oh, I love trash.
Is this our first disagreement?
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
I get what he's trying to say.
This is garbage.
Sean, I get what he's trying to say.
I feel like you're being like, this is too, you could just, LeBron gives you so much to not like, this is like him actually being a real human. And you're like,
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, you're making fair points. I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's a certain point where I'm like, yeah, sorry, I don't feel bad for you. I don't. Like,
he's not saying feel bad. He's just saying what he wishes he could do. Does he say feel bad for me?
Isn't it kind of the implication?
He added, I'm not sitting here complaining about it. Of course not. But it can be challenging at times. It's literally the next sentence.
Maybe I should have read a little further.
I was going to say, if Tom Brady was like, man, I wish I could go to the mall.
But he's God. Like, it's different, okay? Like, he's a chosen one. Man, he's posting... Tom Brady's got in some heat because he's, like, posting a picture of himself in some underoos. What's wrong with that?
That was the first time I was like, oh, Tom Brady is capital D divorced.
Yes, he is.
He is.
But he did cover up his peen. Like,
good for him.
I did think it was funny. Like, you're advertising yourself in underwear, but... You're covering up the
underwear.
You couldn't see the underwear. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, not that I even.
No,
a lot
he's
of people,
covering up the underwear.
A lot of people that listen to the show would argue I wanted to see it. No, but I mean, like, you're advertising underwear. Isn't that the whole point? Anyway, yeah, this was a fun way to end the show. We crashed this bad boy on the way out. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, to our texters, our callers, and Twitchers on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 10. Peace!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.